Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in our last program, you were describing some genetic research that directly relates to the biblical account of a global flood, but didn't have time to explain some of the details of that research.
Yes, Scott, very recent research. But in order to help our listeners understand how and why genetic research has any bearing on the account of a geological event like the flood, I began the discussion by going back 30 years and describing what geneticists found in a little piece of DNA called mitochondrial DNA. The discoveries since 1988, using that mDNA as we call it, have continued to confirm the biblical record of the flood and confound the evolutionists.
Now, as you said in that previous program, you talked a lot about the progress leading up to the current results of this mDNA research. Mm-hmm. And your intent today is to pretty much pick up where you left off last time. So, for the benefit of those who didn't hear part one of this topic, we highly recommend that you listen to it on the website's radio page, or you can subscribe to the free podcast and hear it that way.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion, Scott. So, this latest research that is so exciting was published in June of 2018.
And we're recording this program in February of 2019, so the work was done less than a year ago.
That's right. And a lot of reaction is still going on even to this day. And what the publication essentially indicated was that not only could we trace the entire human race back to a single set of parents about 100,000 years ago, but the lineage of 90% of all animal species could also be traced back to a single set of parents about 100,000 years ago. The interpretation being, virtually all animals, including humans, were wiped out except for one set of parents, and the Earth has been repopulated by their descendants since that time. Now, except for the time frame, what's that sound like to you, Scott?
Well, it sounds exactly like what we'd expect as a result of the global flood destroying all land animals and humans, except for those individuals that survived on the Ark.
That's precisely what this research points to, so much so that the authors comment on it. However, they don't accept the flood as the explanation for this phenomenon. Now, I do think it's important to mention the discrepancy of the time frame they claim for when life, quote unquote, started over again, and the time frame we understand the Bible reveals for the account of the flood of Noah's day, and then the generations after him to the present. And this is another reason why those who didn't hear last week's program should listen to it. However, what everyone needs to understand is the standard of measure the evolutionists use to determine how long ago the individuals of a species had a common mother assumes humans and chimpanzees had a common mother, so to speak, 5 million years ago.
In other words, they assume there was some ape-like animal whose offspring eventually evolved into chimpanzees through one sibling and into humans from another sibling.
Yes, and here we are, according to evolution, 5 million years later, and that great-great-great-grandmother is long gone, but we still have a version of her mDNA. And based on how different that piece of DNA is between different species, compared to how different it is between chimps and humans, they then calculate how long ago those species or individuals within that species had a common mother. The point being, for our consideration here is, the standard they use to assign a time frame to how long these differences take to occur, and those differences, by the way, are mutations in the mitochondrial DNA, how long they say it takes for those mutations to occur is, simply put, wrong. And I shared research last time that clearly demonstrated the error. But evolutionists continue to refuse to change their interpretations using the observed proper standard. But the time frame notwithstanding, this new research is profound in that it indicates, as I mentioned, 90% of all animal species can trace their ancestry back to a single set of parents who began repopulating the Earth at the same time. So what I want to do now is read from some of the published material in order for everyone to hear this news from the author's own hand or mouth, so to speak. Now, I mentioned the article that has caused all the excitement was published in June of 2018. It was the Rockefeller Journal, Human Evolution, and the research was led by Senior Research Associate Mark Steckel of Rockefeller University and Research Associate David Thaler of the University of Basel, Switzerland.
And Dr. Scripture, I don't know that it needs to be pointed out, but these are not creationists publishing this research.
Definitely not, Scott. In fact, here's a quote from David Thaler after they got the results from their work. "This conclusion is very surprising, and I fought against it as hard as I could." Mm. And that kind of response to these types of results are the kinds of things we continue to hear from evolutionists as their own good research contradicts evolutionary assumptions and confirms what we would expect from the results of biblical creation and a biblical flood. And what also always follows is a huge backlash from the rest of the evolutionary community, yep, denying the results or dismissing the interpretation of the data in favor of what they already know to be true.
The famous reaction, "Don't confuse me with the facts."
Well, it's well said, Scott. You'd make a fine evolution apologist.
Thank you, I think.
So here are some of their own statements. I read a number of articles, as well as the initial publication, and I found an article that did a good job of summarizing the original Rockefeller Journal. The November 24th, 2018, dailynews.co.uk/news article, published online, was reporting on Steckel and Thaler's work, and the headline was, "All humans may be descended from just two people, and a catastrophic event almost wiped out all species 100,000 years ago, study suggests." And then this article goes on to summarize the work as follows. 1. Genetic barcodes of 5 million animals from 100,000 different species were surveyed. 2. Research prompted speculation. Humans and animals sprang from a single pair. 3. This may have happened after a catastrophic event after the last ice age. And 4, the study has been misunderstood by some religious parties who interpreted it as challenging evolutionary theory, which has been denied by the authors. So, with respect to this first point, notice this was a massive study. They compared the mDNA of 5 million individual animals, which means they compared an average of 50 different individuals from 100,000 different species to come up with these results. So these findings cannot be dismissed as just some anecdotal conclusions.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, it said genetic barcodes were surveyed. What are genetic barcodes?
Geneticists now use a standard segment of the mitochondrial DNA, a 648 base pair piece of a gene that every single animal has. And by looking at that sequence, they can identify what species the animal is. Just like the barcode reader at your local grocery store identifies the product you're buying by scanning those little lines, yep, on your can of beans or frozen dinner. Of course, now this genetic barcode, as they call it, is much more detailed than what we put on boxes of products, but the principle is the same.
Okay, then the other question is, how long did it take them to determine the barcodes from 5 million individuals? Has this research been going on for decades?
Well, actually, no. In fact, Steckel and Thaler didn't do the sequencing themselves. What they did was simply go into the existing databases, which store the huge amount of genetic information determined by thousands of scientists over many years, and then they used computer programs to compare all the barcodes.
Wow. So in other words, the information has been sitting there for some time. It just needed to be analyzed the right way to discover these amazing facts.
Well, that's the way most great discoveries get made, Scott. And so if I can put in a little plug here for the value of general research or basic research, you know, so often there is opposition to this kind of research because it isn't geared towards curing a disease or improving some device. And so people say, what possible use could there be in knowing the DNA sequence of the hemoglobin of the Tasmanian tree frog? Well, someday some scientist may take that seemingly irrelevant piece of information and combine it or compare it with some other seemingly meaningless piece of information and make an important discovery. So obviously, practical research should be our priority, but let's not put aside what we call basic research, because you never know what may come of it. A cure for some form of cancer, or even evidence for a global flood just a few thousand years ago.
Well, I have to admit, that's something I'd never considered before. But what else of interest did the Daily News article point out?
Well, related to the second point, that the research prompted speculation humans and animals sprang from a single pair. It went on to say, these barcodes suggest that it's not just people who could have come from a single pair of beings, but 9 out of every 10 animal species, too. The study concluded that 90% of all animal species alive today come from parents that all began giving birth at roughly the same time, throwing into doubt the patterns of human evolution. And so given that, regardless of the time frame, the principle points directly to this idea of a wipeout of the population on Earth and then a repopulation from all the different animals that, as we understand it, were on the ark. And so then here is what Steckel and Thaler concluded concerning their research in an article published online in PLOS One. And this is from July 2nd, 2014. It was sort of like the precursor to this article then that caused so much of a stir. The article was entitled, DNA Barcoding Works in Practice, but Not in Neutral Theory. And in this article, they asserted that their findings can be explained by a global population crash. Imagine that. And they admit that the idea of a single global population crash is, quote, almost a Noah's Ark hypothesis, though it appears unlikely, unquote. They speculate instead that perhaps long-term climate cycles might cause widespread periodic bottlenecks. Now, you can imagine the backlash they got from even alluding to the idea of Noah's Ark. But of course, a climate change scenario would be much more acceptable.
Of course.
So finally then, remember, it was pointed out that the study had been misunderstood by some religious parties who interpreted it as a challenge to evolutionary theory. Well, at the end of this Daily News article that we've been referring to, they added this update, quote, since the publication of this article, we have been contacted by Dr. Steckel and Thaler, who have made the following statement. Our study is grounded in and strongly supports Darwinian evolution, including the understanding all life has evolved from a common biological origin over several billion years. Our study follows mainstream views of human evolution. We do not propose there was a single Adam or Eve, and we do not propose any catastrophic events, unquote. Now, I know I shouldn't be surprised, but these are indeed amazing discoveries which continue to produce data confirming Genesis and confounding the evolutionists. And Scott, this information and the backtracking reminds me of something that Isaiah tells us that the Lord said in Isaiah 44, verses 24 and 25. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back and turning their knowledge into foolishness. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.